You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. This episode is being released on February 13th, 2025. And this week we're talking about a new app that has been developed by a pastor that has an AI version of himself able to respond to people and even pray for them at any time. It is, in essence, their own personal pastor. This may be an amazing use of technology, but is it a good idea? We're going to talk about that today. For links to the story we're talking about and other related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/02-1325. Now for our story this week. Megachurch pastor creates AI version of himself so congregants can have personalized one-on-one interactions. From Protestia, Ron Carpenter is a senior pastor of Redemption World Outreach Center in Greenville, South Carolina. According to his church bio, he is recognized as a leader of leaders and has advised, consulted, and mentored CEOs, pastors, and political leaders around the world for over two decades. Carpenter is nothing if not busy, and he has teased the Ron Carpenter Ministries Advanced Archive app, which is a unique place where people from every background, race, and walk of life come together in a place of community and purpose. The app will let users transcend traditional time and access barriers by enabling one-on-one personalized interactions not possible before now, and where over 30 years of experience makes the voice of Pastor Ron Carpenter an invaluable asset to any leader. Notably, we are told that the software grows along with you, referencing past conversations and personalizing responses. In short, people can have their own personal pastor. So if you're wondering just how bad this is, here's the teaser video that they shared to let people know about this.
Okay, I'd love to have my own personal pastor, so I hit the Ron Carpenter Ministries archive and I call Pastor Ron. And after I call Pastor Ron, let's say, you know what? Let's say I'm not feeling good
Pastor
in my body.
Pastor Ron Carpenter, how can I help?
Pastor Ron, I'm not feeling well today. Could you pray for me?
Hey there. I'm sorry to hear you're not feeling well. Let's take a moment to pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you know us and hear us. Right now, I lift up my friend to you. I ask for your healing touch to be upon him.
You'll know more about it? You have to wait. We'll tell you later.
The story went on to note that access to this AI pastor cost $49. So most people are not going to bother with this. However, there are some people who will pay the $49 to have access to this AI pastor. Well, why would anyone do this? Well, remember, this is a megachurch pastor. Well, what is a megachurch? Well, the Hartford Institute for Religious Research defines a megachurch as generally having several key characteristics. And one of these key characteristics is that they have 2,000 or more persons in attendance at weekly worship. So think about the conditions that exist here. Number one, you have a large number of people who look to this guy as their pastor. And number two, these people are likely more well off financially than the average person. Remember when we read that excerpt from the article, it mentioned CEOs and political leaders among those who are seeking this man's counsel. Number three, these people are likely more biblically illiterate than the average churchgoer. Now, I know it's possible for someone to preach sound doctrine at a larger congregation, but the fact that this guy is their pastor, I think makes it safe to say that they are not well-versed in the scriptures. And number four, because of that, those who follow this guy are going to have an unhealthy attachment to him. So put all of that together, and it could be very lucrative to release an app with an AI pastor for $49. But what if you had a sound congregation with faithful elders overseeing it? is there a way that we could scripturally take advantage of this technology? Could we develop an app to pray for those who request prayers? Is this a solution for pastors who are stretched too thin and cannot meet with everyone who might want to meet with them? Well, there are a few points I want us to think about today. Number one, unlimited access to the pastor is unsustainable. But to start, we need to understand what a pastor is, and we need to let the Bible define it, not the religious world. This word in the Bible means a shepherd. The noun is used in Ephesians 4 and verse 11, where it talks about apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. That word is used there. It's the word for a shepherd. The verb form is used in Acts 20 and verse 28, where it says, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood." That word shepherd there is the verb form of the word for pastor. But who was Paul talking to there? Well, earlier in that chapter, in verse 17, it says he was talking to the elders from the church in Ephesus. And they are also referred to as overseers. They oversee the church, as Acts 20 and verse 28 says. So, biblically speaking, the elders are the pastors whose role is to oversee the congregation. And for more on the work and the qualifications for elders or pastors or bishops, I'll link to some material in the show notes so you can check that out. But among the qualifications is that they be married with children who are faithful Christians. One cannot adequately shepherd a congregation while still trying to raise his own kids. That is his primary responsibility, so he has to focus on that first. Once they're grown, once they're faithful Christians, then he can serve as an elder in the church. But even when you have a biblically qualified elder or pastor, he's limited in what he can do. We often think of the parable of the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15, where one sheep went astray and the shepherd left the 99 to go find that one that was lost. We remember that. We remember that one sheep that was lost. The shepherd left the 99 to go find the one. Well, that was an emergency situation. That shepherd cannot give all his attention to that one sheep perpetually and neglect the 99. If he did, eventually they would wander off and he'd have to go chase after them too. The shepherd needs to care for all of the sheep. This is why a mega church doesn't work. And this is why the larger a church becomes, the more of a challenge it is to care for the spiritual well-being of the members. Remember, the elders and pastors are watching for the souls of those in the church. The Hebrew writer said, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." Realistically, how many people can the elders oversee? At some point, they can't care for all of them anymore. Number two, the New Testament model is not a one-man pastor system, but a plurality of elders overseeing a congregation. Now, the religious world, generally speaking, has changed the biblical role of a pastor, where you have someone who does the work of a preacher, but also oversees the congregation. And often there is only one of these pastors in a congregation. But the New Testament consistently describes churches having a plurality of elders or pastors who oversee them. In Acts 14:23, when Paul and Barnabas were returning from their first preaching tour, it says, "When they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed." And we already noticed Acts 20 and verse 17, when Paul called for the elders from the church in Ephesus to meet him while he was in Miletus. Paul addressed the letter to the church in Philippi in this way. It says, "Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who were in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons." When Paul wrote to Titus, he said, "For this reason I left you in Crete, so that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you." And James wrote, "Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. There is no New Testament example of one elder or pastor in a congregation. That is the type of work that needs to be shared. It prevents abuse, where you have one person who's in charge of everything, but it also prevents neglect, where one person can't do it all. So you have a plurality of elders. Number three, the solution is not AI, artificial intelligence. Instead, it is other people. Even with a plurality of elders, it can be difficult to address every need that arises immediately. But the solution is not AI. The solution is to develop others in the church who can help. And this was the solution that Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, gave to him when he was trying to take care of all of the Israelites. Back in Exodus 18, it says, "It came about the next day that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood about Moses from morning until evening. Now when Moses' father-in-law saw that all he was doing for the people, he said, 'What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge and all the people stand around you from morning until evening?' Moses' father-in-law said to him, 'The thing that you are doing is not good. You will surely wear out both yourself and these people who are with you, for the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone.'" Moses was spending all of his time judging even the smallest matters among the people, and this was not sustainable. He would wear himself out, or to use the term that we hear a lot today, he would eventually burn out. He needed to train others who could help, and elders need to do the same thing. And Paul said as much in Ephesians chapter 4. He said he gave some as apostles and some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. One of the things that elders are to be doing, or pastors are to be doing, is equipping others to help their brethren. And number four, we are to pray for one another. James wrote, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." And even the Apostle Paul regularly asks his brethren to pray for him. One example of this is the end of the letter to the church in Ephesus. "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel." We are to pray for one another, not train some AI app to pray for others on our behalf. So in summary, there may be lots of ways that AI can be a useful tool, but it is just that, a tool. It cannot study for us. It cannot write sermons for us. It cannot pray for us. And it certainly cannot replace the elders that are in the local church. Rather than paying $49 for a fake AI pastor, we need to develop relationships with real people in the church who can pray for us, encourage us, and help us during our times of need. Well, that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found this episode to be helpful. For links to the story we talked about and some other related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/02-1325. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast and share it with others, that is always appreciated. And if you're listening to this, remember that we also upload video versions of the podcast to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you prefer to watch this on video, that option is there for you. And if you are watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can see the other videos that are posted here from time to time. And if you see a news story or have some topic that you think would make for a good discussion here, send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next time.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.